in the previous lesson, we took a look at getting the basic firewall up and running with some basic connectivity on each of the interfaces. What we're going to focus on in this lesson is to configure device management. You may have noticed when we connected to our firewall the first time on the console port, and we typed in enable and pressed enter, there was no password required. Simply pressing enter got us in. Well, that may be a challenge for a production network or based on a task we have in a lab. So how do we set the enable password? Well, the command is literally enable password. So in configuration mode, we type in enable space password space and the password you'd like to use. There is no enable secret, you know, like they have on the router for the encrypted versus the non-encrypted flavors of enable secrets. It's simply enable space password. We also are going to need to do a couple of other things for future tasks. So right here in configuring device management, let's get these out of the way. We're going to want to set a domain name up. Why? Why use the command domain-name:internetworkexpert.com or whatever domain you want to use? Well, the reason is that we may be using RSA public-private key pairs, which to create those requires a domain name. So we might as well do it right here with the domain-name:, and the domain name you want to use command. And then we can generate crypto keys. Public-private key pairs for RSA, we use it for SSH, we use it for digital certificates. They're great. We're probably going to need them. Why not do them right now? So to create your public-private key pair on your firewall, and this does apply to our topic, configuring device management. If we want to use SSH, they have to be there. We're going to use the command crypto space key space generate space RSA space. And then I always throw in the modulus keyword because I like to force my modulus to be a certain size. And I would say modulus space 1024. Now, if you want a bigger modulus, more power to you. But I usually throw it in, especially on a router, because the default, I believe, is even less than that. So now that I have my public-private key pair generated, what's next? Well, perhaps we should set the time. You know, if your time is accurate on the firewall, that's great. But if it's not accurate, there could be conflicts with things like accepting digital certificates in the future. So we'll set the clock with the clock command. And the syntax is pretty straightforward for that. It's simply clock space set, and then the hours, minutes, and seconds separated by colons. And then you put the month and the day and the year. And poof, you've now set the clock locally on your ASA. If you're using NTP, you might as well set that up now as well, too, because if you're going to be using it, it'd be important to have that all synced up. Also, NTP does take some time to synchronize, especially if the clock initially is way, way off. In the security lab, my feeling is this. We're very likely going to use authentication with NTP. So here, as we talk about configuring device management, let's set that up as well. The syntax is NTP space authenticate. I do that one first because that's the one I normally forget if I don't do it first. That says I want to use NTP authentication. Then we set up an NTP trusted key with the command NTP space trusted key, trusted hyphen key, space, and then a number between 1 and like 42 billion or something. So I usually use key 1 unless a task asks me to use key 5 or key 6. And then once you've identified your NTP trusted key, then you have to set up a string for that key. The syntax for that is NTP space authentication hyphen key space your key ID. So if I used 1 before, I'd use 1 again. Space the keyword MD5 space and then my string. Basically my password that I'm going to be using between me and my authenticated NTP server. Next, we've set up our NTP authentication key. We said it was trusted. We want to use authentication. And now we need to tell our firewall who the NTP server is. And that syntax is also very simple. It's NTP space server space and the IP address of that server. Now, if we want to source our requests for NTP off a specific interface because of access control somewhere else in the network, we could also use the keyword source and then specify our interface inside, outside, DMZ, and so forth. Now, as we continue our journey in configuring device management, let's talk a little bit more about Telnet and SSH. I know we've created the public-private key pairs, so SSH has a possibility, but without telling your firewall who's on the friendly list, your firewall will not allow anyone to SSH or telnet to it directly. To set that up to support that, we'd need to use the telnet and SSH commands. And telnet, normally on a router, you type in telnet, it means I'm going to telnet to a device. Well, on a firewall, when you use the command telnet, it means who is going to be permitted to this device. So we'd use the command telnet space the IP address of a host or the subnet that you want to allow permission to telnet to your firewall on, space, and then the mask, space, and then the keyword of the interface you want to allow access in on, whether it's inside, DMZ, what have you. So whether it's SSH or telnet, you'd use that command. If you want telnet and SSH permitted from the 10.10.10.0 subnet, the syntax would be telnet space 10.10.10.0 space 3 octets of a mask 255.255.255.0 space, and then the keyword of the interface you want to allow the 10. Whatever subnet to connect in on, which might be the inside or DMZ, for example. And then you do it again for SSH, and that's how you allow people to connect. The challenge is, though, what's the password? Well, we haven't set up AAA yet. In fact, we're not going to until we get to Section 5, which is the identity management chapter in this audio boot camp. But in the meanwhile, what is the default password? Well, the default password for SSH and for Telnet is Cisco by default. Well, if you're using SSH and it prompts you for a username, what's the username? And believe it or not, even now, it's the 21st century, it is still PIX. So you put in PIX as the default username, put in Cisco as the password, and that will get you in. If you want to change the password for Telnet or SSH, you'd use the PASSWD command. So PASSWD space and the password you'd like to use instead of the default of Cisco. Another really interesting feature that's going to come in handy for you is, what if later in your lab you've got a VPN tunnel up to your firewall and you want to telnet through that VPN firewall and terminate at the inside interface? So the tunnel is terminated on the outside interface going off to the internet. You're on the internet somewhere coming through that tunnel and you want to telnet to the inside IP address. Is that possible? The answer is yes, it is, if you know the management space, access space, and the interface you want to permit it on. So if you wanted to allow access on the inside interface, you'd say management space access, specify the inside interface, enter in global config, and that will allow you to terminate your telnet or SSH session to the inside interface, which normally would not be allowed by the ASA at all. So while we're talking about device management, let's also talk about HTTP access. Now, in your lab, you're not going to need a lot of HTTP access because they certainly don't have ASDM available for you on your ASAs. However, it certainly may be a task. So let's talk about it. It's very similar to what we do for SSH, and it's very similar to what we do for Telnet. Simple. We simply type in HTTP space and the IP address of the host or network we want to allow to connect, a space, the mask for that appropriate network or host, space, and then the interface name. So that part is identical. So Telnet, SSH, HTTP. However, for HTTP, we also need to enable the HTTP server. The syntax for that is HTTP space server space enable, enter. And that's it. We've already got, for HTTPS functionality, we already have our public-private key pair created with the crypto key generate RSA command. We did that earlier. And you want to know a little shortcut? Honestly, if I had to set up the domain name and make sure HTTP was running and do a crypto key pair, you might just want to run setup. Once you have an IP address on the inside interface, you can run setup, and it will automatically do a host of things for you, including ask you for the domain name, ask you for the ASA's host name, ask you for who's permitted to connect to it. And so if you want to shortcut a few of those steps, you can use the setup command. But just please make sure you understand the behind-the-scenes commands that that's doing for you. We are going to include another whole section on authenticating users as they come in with cut-through proxy and HTTP access and telnet access and SSH. using a AAA server. And again, we'll do that in the AAA section. One last piece that we should definitely do before we close this section off on configuring device management is talk about logging just for a moment. Your firewall loves you. It does. It's willing to tell you virtually everything that you've messed up in your config if you'll ask it to. And here's how you ask your firewall to please tell you when you've messed up on a config. You simply turn logging on. Logging space enable. And then as another add-on to that, we're going to specify logging space buffered with an ED at the end. And then a level. I would recommend 6. Logging buffered 6. That's everything except for debug messages. And if you want to keep your entire history in your on your firewall, you can specify a logging space. I think the command for that is logging space buffer hyphen size. And then you can specify, the default is 4K. So if you want to specify 16K, you could do buffer logging space buffer hyphen size 16,384, which would be 16K. Now, if you're really paranoid and you want to save your old log files, once you get the full 16K used, you can do a logging space flash hyphen buffer wrap, BUFFERWRAP, and that will save a copy of your old log files in flash while it fills up a new 16K. So hopefully you're not having that many log messages pipe in. However, there could be a situation where it's just annoying. Let me tell you an example, a real-world example. Let's say you have HSRP running on 2 routers, and they are on the same VLAN as your firewall. Well, your firewall sees the 1985, you know, going through. It's the HSRP packets, and it's like getting an error every time or logging those. And that happens like every 3 seconds. That's a lot of conversation. So you might want to take a syslog message that's really irritating and say, no logging message, and then put in that syslog number for the HSRP so it won't show up anymore. Or you could throttle it back. But I want to stress the importance for you of getting used to looking at your log output, because when you have access lists or killing traffic, it'll tell you. And it's just a matter of being willing to turn on logging at the beginning and to go ahead and look at it. Well, that, my friends, is a good chunk for configuring basic device management. In our next lesson, we're going to focus on one of my favorite topics, which is network address translation with globals and statics and NATs. And I'll see you in the next section. Thanks, everybody.